It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Part two this week of a discussion you started last week talking about tribulation. Why is there suffering? A lot of tribulation, a lot of suffering these days, it seems like, particularly in the Northwest with some of the things going on. And you want to get into kind of phase two of this discussion. And why don't you set this up?
One of the things that I hear a lot from people that I am talking to now, of course, as you can imagine, people who come for counseling already have trials and tribulations and stress in their life for many different reasons. It can be relationships or health, or and I also do life coaching. It can be people just wanting to feeling stuck in life and wanting to move on. When this whole COVID thing started out, that introduced yet just another layer of fear, and now we've got that just kind of blossoming into what I think was underlying from the beginning is just this, really global unrest, and then focused in the U.S. For us, and then focused here in the Northwest. And one of the things that we want to focus on, though, really is God's purpose. What's God doing in this? We talked about that last week about the purpose of or how tribulation serves God's purpose. And we want to, I wanted to focus on a scripture here this today, Hebrews 12:1. And Paul says in Hebrews 12:1, he says, wherefore, which is based on the, you have to read Hebrews 11, which is, of course, the faith chapter of all the patriarchs and how they've been examples of faith. And wherefore, seeing then that we also are encompassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. That's what we want to do, even in the midst of this tribulation, is we want to run the race. As I grew up, and I heard this verse many, many times growing up, and I've just come to the realization recently that when I heard this verse, it was kind of filtered in my mind, and I heard it kind of something like this, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin that easily besets us and run with patience the race, period. And what I've begun to focus on here in the last few weeks is this idea of lay aside every weight. And then he says, and the sin that easily besets us. So weights are not necessarily sins. Weights are not necessarily immoral. And then he says to run with patience the race that's set before us. And I think that it's important for us to break this down this morning or today. I guess we're in the afternoon too. Weights are not necessarily sins. They're not even necessarily immoral, but they do hold us back, and we need to get rid of the weights that are holding us back. In the context of this verse, weights would be anything that keep us from running the race. Which race is that? Well, it's the race that's set before us, not just any race, but the race that's set before us. The Western Church, I think, is encumbered here in the West. We're encumbered with weights of many kinds. And they're holding us back. What are they holding us back from? Holding us back from running the race. Which race is that? Well, it's the race that's set before us. And if we could recognize things in our lives, if we could recognize them as weights, then we could lay them aside. And the question, why do we not recognize them as weights? Well, it's because we don't see the race. And which race is that? Well, it's the race that's set before us. So I've been repeating myself here, and that's because that was intentional. It's not just any race that we're running. It's the race that was set before us. And the reason we don't recognize weights in our life is because we don't comprehend the race that's set before us. And I think that's true of most Christians. We don't comprehend the race. Why do I think that's true of most Christians? Because most Christians have weights. And if they knew the race that they were running, they wouldn't have the weights. We recognize weights because they hold us back from our mission. We were talking before the show, Mark, about how we would distinguish weights. And a simple little illustration would be if we're going bowling, we don't need climbing ropes. And if we're going climbing, we don't need a bowling ball.
Right.
A weight is defined as something that gets in the way of my objective. Most Christians don't know what the objective is. And I can tell that in my own life and in their lives because of the weights. They have weights that they don't recognize as weights. And what that tells us is we don't know the race we're running. So what are weights here in the Western world? Weights can be possessions, any kind of possession. Think about the things that are around you that you're attached to in your living room, in your kitchen, in your garage. Things can be possessions. They can be hobbies. Weights can be hobbies. Weights can be pursuits. They can be pastimes. And they might even be relationships. They might be ideologies, viewpoints. I've heard, give you an example, dealt with some young men recently, raised in Christians' homes, that have some really strange viewpoints. Almost, in some cases, you could almost hear some of these young people talking almost like a schizophrenic babble. Take even a closer example. Take, for example, the rebels here in Seattle, the Antifa, and these people who have these illogical ideologies that they won't let go simply because they're so entangled by them and they don't have a perspective in life. So there's no reason for them to lay these illogical ideologies aside in pursuit of the obvious because they become entangled by them. And I've seen even Christian young people who have stepped away from the Lord, and maybe growing up, they became identified with a certain way of thinking or a certain way of talking or a certain way of behaving, and it became kind of their little shtick in school. This is how they were identified. Oh, he's the guy or she's the gal with that, you know, that really bizarre way of behaving, and it kind of became their identity. Mm. And then they can't let it go because I've heard them ask, well, then who would I be if I laid this aside? Mm-hmm. So weights can be ideologies and viewpoints. They can be personality quirks. Well, I'm Irish, you know. It can be a personality quirk, you know, a thing that we associate with. Can be behaviors, can be habits, can be comforts, things that make us comfortable. Now, I've listed these things off, and you see that none of these things are necessarily immoral. They're not even necessarily sin. I separate sometimes sin from morality. Why do I do that? I'll explain. I think sin is a violation of the nature of God, and some of the things that we do that are not immoral can violate the nature of God, can be an offense to God if they damage relationships, because I believe that sin always has to do with damaged relationship. I'll explain that in another show at some time. I've probably done it in the past. So I separate sometimes sin from morality. Don't let that bother you too much.
okay.
Just
pass I look forward to that discussion.
Okay.
I've always heard sin is, I mean, literally means to miss the mark. That's what sin means. That's what the word means.
Yeah, so we could think of that way, and then what is the mark? And I think of God as being having basically two divine institutions. He creates and he relates. And so, Jesus said, you know, and asked, you know, what is the most important law? And he said, all of the law is contained in these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So if we attend to relationships, we're going to fulfill all of the law. If we don't attend to the relationships, then we need morality, which is an external guideline to try to keep us relating to one another properly.
Okay.
So it's something along those lines. So I listed these things off: possessions, hobbies, pursuits, behaviors, habits, comforts. Mark 4:18-19. So it talks, of course, this is the parable of the sower of the seed. And he's talking about the seed that's sown. He says, these are those that were sown among the thorns. They hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in and choke off the word. So it's like weeds growing in a garden. They just gradually come in and they choke it off. And these are the ways that these weights work in our lives. They seem innocent. And perhaps we even feel about these things that we've earned them and we deserve them, whether they be comforts or hobbies or pursuits. but the problem is that we begin to be identified by them, and we can't grow beyond them. Like the example I gave of young people who, you know, maybe I remember when I was in high school, it was easier for me to be the clown of the classroom than it was for me to turn in a good homework assignment. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for years that became kind of my identity.
Persona.
Yeah, persona. And then my classmates grow up and mature and move on, and I'm stuck with this behavior because who would I be if I just let this behavior go? I've become entangled with this. My personality quirk has become a weight. It's holding me back from running. From running the race. Who would I be then? So these weights then they're actually egocentric. They're self-centered, if not selfish, at least self-centered. They assume that my life is kind of the center of the universe. They're, it's my comfort first. It's my hobbies first, my pursuits first, my relationships. Again, none of these things are immoral, but here's what they do. When they entangle us, they blur our vision so that we can neither see, hear, feel, or even, in some cases, need God. Let me repeat those. These entanglements, which are so innocent and sometimes feel deserved and earned, they blur our vision. We can neither see God and his purpose. We can't hear God and his purpose. We can't feel God. We can't need God.
Or don't know that we need God.
Don't know that we need God. We can't see the race. We can't see the race. We can't comprehend the values of the kingdom of God. We see the parables of the kingdom and particularly the pearl of great price and the treasure in the field. You know, you assume that the guy, when he saw the pearl of great price, he recognized it. When the person saw the treasure in the field, he recognized it, where other people probably missed it, but this person saw the value of it. But when we're entangled by weights, we can't see the race. We can't see the treasure. We can't see the pearl. We can't see the values. So take a break and come back and talk about how we can maybe correct those things.
Okay, laying aside every weight this week, the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If you feel weighed down by the cares of life, some issues going on in your life, Daniel is a marriage counselor, family counselor, individual counselor. And if you need help, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me, through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, and right now doing a lot of Skype counseling if that works for people too.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Well, I'm with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind. This week with Daniel, we're discussing how to lay aside those weights, things that hold us down, and a kind of a two-part series we started last week with how to get through tribulation. And part of getting through tribulation is identifying those weights and how to set them aside. I think it's interesting. You see, a lot of these weights are not necessarily sin.
No. No, they're not, you know, they're not, they're separate. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. So some of these things are not sin, but they keep us back.
Cares of life.
Yeah, cares of life. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And some of them are not immoral. Let's say that weights are, if they're separated from sin, they're not immoral. They're just weights. You know, Jesus said that it's easier for a rich man it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah. So now if you've done some Bible studies, you know that what the eye of the needle is a gate in the city that was people could go through them, but armies couldn't come through. And so it was a gate that was left open through the night, but intruders couldn't come in with weapons, because the only way a camel could get through the eye of a needle was to be completely stripped of all of its cargo. It couldn't have anything on it to get through there. It could possibly go through on its knees, but it couldn't have anything on it. Riches aren't immoral, but it's hard for us to see the kingdom. It's hard for us to see the values of the kingdom so many times. When our treasures are here on earth and we get comfortable in those ways, we simply can't see. We don't want to see. We don't want to see the process that strips us of our earthly comforts. And so much, particularly in the West, we've surrounded ourselves with these things and become entangled with things that aren't even immoral, and yet they're keeping us from running the race. Which race? What race? What race are you talking about? The race that's set before us, the one we don't see. We said in the beginning, if we're going climbing, we don't need a bowling ball. If we're going bowling, we don't need climbing ropes. We don't really see the weights until we see the race. And so we're going to talk here about, well, how do we see the race then? And how do we get free from these entanglements? So I've made the statement before, and I don't think it's an overstatement. I'm sure most people agree with me, but that the Western church is soft. We have comforts. We have accommodations. We even have medications. When we're going through a lot of the pressures, that the tribulation that we see now, and it's really just kind of coming to almost like, feels like it's coming to a head here in Seattle with what's going on. We would never have believed this could happen 25 years ago. But here we are, and we see these things coming. And for a lot of people, I'm trying everything I should be trying. I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm just not coping, and I'm thinking I'm going to start taking some medication. Even that can be, you know, if we take enough medication, as I said earlier, if you take enough medication, you don't have to pray. You don't have to see the race. Mm. You don't have to acknowledge the tribulation if you take enough of it.
You kind of quit feeling.
Yeah, but the point of it is that God uses tribulation. God uses suffering, as we pointed out in the last show, to mature us, to build the muscles that need to be built, the spiritual muscles. We're all weak in some way. We can't run the race with that weakness. Those muscles have to be built. We've got to lay aside the weights, the comforts, the distractions, and we've got to get on with this business of making ourselves mature, allowing God to make us mature, make us strong. There's so much work to be done. I've spoken previously about a pastor that I've come in contact with in Pakistan, and recognizing that in so many places in the world, the church is under constant difficulty, and they must constantly pray. And some of them are constantly in fear of their lives, just like the men who wrote the Bible, constantly in fear of their lives. And yet dedicated to the race that was set before them. And sometimes I think here in the Western church, we haven't even seen the race that's set before us. And I said before, the reason I think that is because we have so many weights that we haven't bothered to lay aside. Weights become, as I said earlier, they're egocentric. And I wrote an article and did a radio show. If you want to listen to this radio show, it's the name of the radio show is All About Me. And it was, if you look in the podcast, it's back at February 28th, 2017. So 3 years ago, February 28th, 2017, All About Me. Or if you want to go to ChristianCounselorsForum.com, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and the archives, you'll see an article, All About Me. And it's the five reasons why I can never be happy when it's about me. But these entanglements, they are egocentric. Someone said we are pleasure-seeking and pain-avoiding, and that's what we see in this. Mm. Entanglements lead to a lack of comprehension. They lead to fragmentation. I've talked about fragmentation. I won't talk about it a lot in this show, but we become fragmented. We become defined by these things. And without a progressive vision, like it speaks of in Proverbs 29:18, without that ultimate point of reference, that ultimate objective, we can become fragmented in our lives and have objectives that there's no cohesion. We need that. We need the comprehension. And so many of these, I'll bring this out too as I move on to some more encouraging parts of this show. When we become too entangled and we then begin to lack that that single purpose in our life, we begin to lack that race that we need to run, the lack of the comprehension of that race, it presents a lot of times in anxiety, depression, and a lot of the reasons that people come for counseling. And so want less anxiety, want less depression, we have to find that purpose. We've got to run that race. Those men that wrote the New Testament and were running the race also wrote things like, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. Be anxious for nothing, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The joy of the Lord is my strength, said, I think that was the psalmist. But these were men who knew trials and tribulations, but they also knew the race. They saw the race. They could identify the weights. They could get rid of the weights and with joy and patience run the race. So how do we get free from our weights when we begin to discover them? We get in the presence of God. We begin to get not egocentric and self-centered, but we begin to serve other people. We begin to see the race. How do we get rid of this? Again, Matthew, Jesus was asked, what law should I keep? And he said, these are the two, you fulfill these, you fulfill all the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, these are not just measures of virtue and piety. I've come to realize that what Christ was doing here was he was outlining some fundamentals to freedom. If you want to be free to run the race, this is what you must do. I must love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I must love my neighbor as myself. We don't have any trouble loving ourselves, but we do have trouble saying no to ourselves and loving our neighbor. So these together, what they do is they ensure that we're going to comprehend the race that's set before us. We're going to see it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to see the pearl of great price, the treasure in the field. We're going to recognize the race. You know, when you're in fellowship with other people and you are sensing their needs and you are wondering, what can I do for you? How can I meet your need? This is what the body of Christ is about. This is why the body of Christ, not just a group of people, but an actual living organism. We are members one of each. We're members of the body. A big part of seeing the race that is set before us is rightly discerning the body of Christ, realizing that there are so many people to pray for, and that's like 95% of what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm. So these ensure that we comprehend the race set before us. We will focus on his purpose, not our own. And when we focus on his purpose, all things, even the things that are happening in Seattle, all things are working together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. A lot of that purpose is loving your brother, serving the body of Christ. We'll not be entangled with weights that blur the objective and that distract us from competing in the race. So if you want to have a purposeful life, if I want to have a purposeful life, we have to comprehend the race What race? What race are we talking about? The race that's been set before us. We have to recognize the things that are keeping us from running that race, and we have to get rid of them. And it's really that simple.
It's that simple, but we realize that a lot of times things people face in their lives maybe aren't so simple. You need someone to help you kind of go through it and to identify problem areas that can be changed, whether it's a marital issue, an individual issue. Daniel Pryor is a life coach and counselor. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number you would call, 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these radio shows. You can listen to them again at the podcast there. The offices are in Kirkland and Bellevue. And
Kirkland
I'm also
and Edmonds, to, I thought.
Kirkland and Edmonds. I'm sorry. It's been a while since we were in Bellevue. And I'm also doing Skype.
Skype counseling as well. That's the preferred method. I've been in so many different Zoom meetings and Skype meetings. I'm ready for some in-person meeting. Of course, Daniel and I are recording in the studio, social distancing, but we still are here. And I know Daniel would love to hear from you. Always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.